Please be seated. Our scripture of the day is from John chapter 20. It's verses 1 through 23. The resurrection of Jesus. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. And Jesus appears to the disciples. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" And supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell us where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to the Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them he had said these things to her. Then it was evening on the day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now this morning, we're not going to do a traditional sermon. I thought we'd do something a little different. We're going to have something like a drama presentation. And we're taking two of the main characters, Mary Magdalene, who will be read by Pastor Aaron, and Peter, who will be read by myself. And of course, you have to have a narrator, who would be David Shockey. So I'm going to ask if David, would you come up here and start us off?
We live in a world of hurting people, bruised, broken. But today we celebrate the promise of a Messiah who cares for each of us, a God who knows we are hurting and touches us with his tender, healing hands. In the monologues that follow, Mary Magdalene and Peter are touched by the Master. Peter, caught by his pride and his fear and his mouth. Mary Magdalene, beyond grief, as she saw the one who defeated her demons suffer and bleed and die, the powers of hell victorious. Or so it seemed. Jesus touched them, reached out to each of them, just as he reaches out to us, a world craving for love, for forgiveness, for a God who cares, a God willing to die that every person can be healed and every person's promise may burn bright.
What can I tell you about Jesus, of his love, of his devotion, of his smile, how he healed people, how he healed me? I spent my life yearning to belong, yearning to love, yearnings that were never met, until him. I bounced from one relationship to another, different beds, different men, different pleasures, and different sins. Passed along like a cheap piece of bread at the games, shared, abused, and discarded. I craved something, I craved anything to fill that void in my life. My lifestyle had made me an easy mark for Satan. I opened myself up by living for sin and pleasure and for its master. They dragged me deeper into my own private hell. More abuse. More pleasure that was not pleasure. More love that was not love. More pain. More depression, a whole lot of tears. I tried to fight them, but I just could not. I couldn't. I could hear them laughing at me, crying out in glee as I descended further and further into my own hell. I wanted to die. To kill myself, to destroy myself, just as they had desired. And one night, in my helpless pain and anguish, I looked up through my tears and cried out through the windows of my depression and desperation, God, save me! I don't know where it came from. Maybe I was finally ready to hear that love song that God had been singing to me since the day I was born. A love song about being clean and belonging and feeling fulfilled. A love song that some people never hear until blackness and despair cloud out every other song in their head. The market was buzzing with stories about him. Jesus. Jesus. There's comfort in that name. Jesus, I said. Inside me, the demons laughed. Do you think he has any use for you? But something called me on. The love song played. Its melody fighting the taunts. And for once I listened and I repeated that name, Jesus. And the laughter stopped. For even the demons shudder at the name. the name of God. He was surrounded by a crowd. I saw him, and our eyes met. And the awful yearning in my heart knew it had found its home. I had to go to my knees. And as the tears flowed, he smiled, and then his face grew tense. He looked at me. No, he looked inside of me. Two words crossed his lips. Be gone. The demons fled like dogs before a lion. That was 2 years ago. I followed him after that. I saw the miracles of healing, demons being cast out, lives restored, God at work. But I also saw something else. I saw the disdain of the religious leaders, heard the mocking tones in their voices, sounds I knew all too well. The voice of hell, the laughing. Passover was coming, and many of us tried to warn him of the danger, tried to persuade him to wait, just wait. But his face was resolute, and he had that same look that he had every time he faced the demons, the lion going into battle. It happened the night before Passover. By the time I reached the city, the cries of crucify, crucify rang out through the air. The religious leaders had turned the people against him, turned them away from the song of love to the cry of demons. Crucify, crucify. I couldn't believe it. And yet, I could believe it. There was nothing I could do, nothing I could do, other to stand by him and cry. Cry as the hammer was lifted and fell. Cry as he was lifted up to draw himself to all men. Cry as the Pharisees laughed with voices I knew all too well. Many have wondered why I didn't hide. How could I? I was drawn to that hill, drawn by what had been done for me, drawn by a soft love song that was a more powerful melody than the chaos of the crowd. The next 2 days passed in a blur of tears and a blur of fears. A few of us planned how we would visit the body and anoint it. Sunday, I dressed in a daze. The stars were still out and the birds were singing, mocking my despair. We talked, how were we going to remove this stone? We didn't know. We still kept on walking. Somehow I knew that God would provide a way, and the love song played on. We turned a corner. It was clear. Something was different. The soldiers, they were gone. Their belongings abandoned in a hasty retreat. The stone rolled away. We looked inside. There were two men, dazzling garments. We were terrified. They were smiling. They had been waiting for us. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He isn't here. He has risen. We went to the disciples. Most thought we were talking nonsense. But Peter and John, they ran to see. They left, and I stayed. Where else was I to go? I tried to make sense of so many senseless days. The demons' cries, the empty tomb, My head was spinning. The tears that had been building up inside of me came crashing down into mighty torments of wails. I clutched a stone and I fell to my knees. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything except to cry, lying on the ground, lying there beside an immovable stone. And yet, somehow, it had moved. Slowly, I regained a measure of my composure. The sun had risen, warm, comforting. I didn't want to be comforted. I wanted to cry forever. I turned to see the men again. "Woman," I heard, "why are you weeping? Can't they just leave me alone? Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where he is." I turned away. Someone else, I couldn't see his features through my tears. Was it the gardener? Maybe he can tell me. Maybe he can tell me where Jesus is. He spoke. Oh no, not another question. But it was the same question. "Woman, why are you weeping? Who do you seek?" The voice was gentle. Where had I heard that voice before? There was a note of bemusement in it. "Please, sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where he is laid." His smile was so big I could see it through my tears. And then he said it. "My name. Mary." And in that instant, I knew that he was alive, knew that he had beaten back the gates of hell. He'd come back to me. He'd come back to you, to everyone. He called my name, and he's calling yours. Out of a world of sin and pain, from your youthful passions, he is calling your name with a voice soft and sweet, with a love song that is written just for you. He is calling your name out of your failure, out of your pride, out of the shadows and sins where you hide. Oh, let the melody grow. Let the tears of joy flow. He calls your name, and you'll never be the same. For he's calling your name.
You all remember Peter, the fisherman, the apostle of Jesus. Here's Peter. "I remember the day my brother Andrew found me working at my fishing nets. 'Simon,' he said, 'we have found the Messiah.' I jumped at the chance to meet the new ruler of Israel. Just like me, impetuous from the start. It was a strange introduction. He didn't look like a king. In fact, he looked just like the carpenter that he was. No fancy robes or rings or jewels, just good homespun cloth. I wondered if Andrew had made a mistake. And then he said, 'You're Simon, son of John.' That was my name, all right. But then he said, 'You will be called Cephas.' That means rock in our language. You would say Peter. I have to admit, it felt great getting all that attention. And the rock. Yes, I like that all right. Peter, solid as a rock. Good. But my God, as I look back, I was anything but a rock. In fact, Andrew always called me his unstable brother, Simon. Like the time we saw Jesus walking on the water. I didn't even think. I just climbed out of the boat and started toward Jesus. I was doing all right till I felt the spray of the waves on the winds of the storm, and I lost my nerve. I lost my faith. I was a rock, all right, and I started sinking just like a rock, right to the bottom, until Jesus stretched out and lifted me up and into the boat. And then just the other day, I was so sure of myself. Jesus said I would deny him. Deny him. I knew I would never deny him. I'd die before I deny him. And then, sure enough, when they arrested him, all it took was a servant girl who recognized me as one of Jesus' followers. And before I knew it, I denied knowing Jesus. I put up quite a show. I even started cursing. Denied knowing him 3 times. And then the rooster crowed. And it was like a knife going through my heart. I ran away. I didn't want anybody to see me crying like a baby. Peter, the rock. Who am I kidding? And yet, that is what Jesus called me. And then, he's barely been in the tomb these 3 days, and Mary Magdalene comes running back with this story. You know, the empty tomb. Mary had such faith. She even said she saw Jesus. I went to see for myself. All I could say I saw was the empty tomb. And I was left with a mystery. I didn't understand a thing. Just left me with one big question mark. It wasn't until Sunday evening, when we were all together in the upper room. We were all scared, afraid of Herod's men, that they would come and arrest us next. I was no rock then either. I was just one scared fisherman making sure the doors were bolted and locked shut. And then Jesus came and stood right with us. And he calmed us down with one word. He said, "Peace. Peace be with you," he said. And he showed us his hands and his side. And I knew everything was going to be all right. And I understood what Jesus meant when he called me the rock. See, it wasn't me. I'm impetuous. I'm unstable by nature. But with Jesus and what he did in my life, I became that rock. "Receive the Holy Spirit," he said. And I haven't been the same since. I suppose in a way we're all like a rock when Jesus gets hold of us. Look at Mary Magdalene, a prostitute. A prostitute! And yet today, it's as if she's as pure as a newborn baby. And how about you? How is Jesus changing you? What is his power working in your life? He's risen. And because that is true, you will never be the same if you just believe and know in your heart that he lives. Thank you. Thank you.